Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. Thank you so much for joining me again. We're in the middle of our week, kind of hopping around the book of Hebrews. We started a little bit in Hebrews 1. Yesterday, we were in Hebrews 2 talking about the confirmation by God of the message of the gospel. And we began to kind of get into everything being subjected to Jesus and everything being under his feet, which we're going to get into a little bit more today, but how we have this encouragement to not drift, And it's amazing. And we've talked about this a lot on this show. It's amazing how many times we see in Paul's letter how he's encouraging us, keep going. Hold fast. Don't let go. Don't drift. And it's like these encouragements of just like, we're like, okay, we're reading it. And then we're in life and we're like, yeah, no, we got to grip onto this. We got to hold on fast to it because it's hard not to drift. So that was the encouragement yesterday to say, don't drift. And drifting might look different for you than it does for me. It might look like drifting away from your habits. It might look like drifting away from reading the word or going to mass. It might look more serious in your life, like drifting away through going into some serious sin. Maybe you're in a time of questioning right now where you're questioning the truth about what God has said and the truth about the gospel and this encouragement from Paul saying, do not drift. The message that has been given to you is trustworthy and clear because it's been given by God, it's been confirmed by the disciples, and it's been confirmed by the Holy Spirit and the workings of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to continue on in Hebrews chapter 2 today. But again, like we've been doing this summer, is we're going to read a little bit of a psalm. We're in Psalm 39 today, and we're just going to see what the psalmist wants to say on our behalf, what's going to stick out to us, and what we can continue to say to the Lord throughout the day from this psalm. So if you'll join me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth while in the presence of the wicked. So I remained utterly silent, not even saying anything good. But my anguish increased. My heart grew hot within me. While I meditated, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Save me from all my transgressions. Lord, as we come before you today and we enter into all of our tasks, into the craziness of our life, into our joys and in our sufferings, give us the grace to know that we have a short life, to know that our life here is just but a breath, and that you would give us the wisdom of heart to number our days, to know that our life in eternity is far greater than our life here, is far longer than our life here. And the true thing that matters, the true thing that we're living for each and every day is to die in you, to die in the Lord. We ask you to give us the grace to live a life that allows us to die well in you, to finish the race. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I love that 4-5 where it says, show me my life's end and the number of my days. And maybe you're listening to this in the morning and you're like, okay, that's so depressing. Like, I don't want to meditate on my death. I don't want to meditate on that. That's crazy. But there's a way in which it's wise for us to know that our life is short. And I don't know about you, but this summer, there's been a lot of death. There's been a lot of funerals. There's been a lot of people passing away suddenly. And it's just been showing, wow, like our life is short. And as I've gone to these people's funerals, I've just been so inspired and blown away by the fact that, like, it's sad that they're gone, but they were ready to die. They were ready to meet the Lord, and it was such an ushering these people into the kingdom of God and the community that they walked with, ushering them into the kingdom of God. And so verses like this where it says, Lord, show me the number of my days that show me that my life is but a breath, because it helps us to live a better life here. Amen. Amen. So we're going to pick up in Hebrews chapter 2 where we left off. I'm going to read a little section again, and then we're going to see what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. So Hebrews 2 verse 8. Now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, was crowned with honor and glory because of the suffering of death, so by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Putting everything in subjection to him under his feet. Remember Monday we started with the reality Jesus is enthroned. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And now what Paul's saying is through the gospel, through this reality of Christ becoming man, of defeating death, everything is now subject to him. What does it mean for something to be subject to something? It means that it's under him, right? You have a king and they're subjects, right? To being under the control, the action of subjecting a country or person to one's control, or the fact of being subjected, that everything is under him. Everything belongs to him. Everything is in submission to him. He is over everything. The Latin root of this defines it kind of as the act of conquering, that Christ, through his life, death, and resurrection, has conquered all. Now everything has been conquered by him. And I want you to hear this line in your life, in the world, in politics, in international relations, in war, in everything. He left nothing outside of his control. You're like, wait, the world is going crazy, but circumstances are crazy, but it doesn't seem like things are going right. No, he has left nothing outside of his control. God is in control. And the world has become subject to him through his conquering of evil and sin and death on the cross. And he acknowledges this. He says, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. We look out into the world and we see rebellion. We don't see how the subjection will come and be. We don't see that. We don't see that yet because everything hasn't been brought into the fulfillment. We're living in the already and the not yet. We don't see everything. That's how it is. That's how it will be. And then I love this, but we see Jesus. We don't see the future. We don't see how everything will come under his rule and reign. But remember, God is outside of time. And so he's not in the same kind of time as we are in terms of the future. We don't see how everything is conquered. We see craziness. We see a mess. And we see he left nothing outside of his control. We're saying, we don't see that. And I love this, but he says, but we see Jesus. I don't see how the circumstances of my life are going to change. I don't see how my suffering is under his feet. I don't see how the world is under his control. But we see Jesus. Going back to that Hebrews 1, who is seated in majesty at the right hand of the Father, fix your eyes on Jesus. There's so much that you cannot see. So stop trying to see it and look at him. He says, I am in control. He says, trust me, nothing has been left outside of my control. But friends, so many of us, our eyes are on the chaos and we're just spending so much time questioning, saying, how, why, how can this be made new? How can it look like this? And he's saying, look at me. I am on the throne. Look at me. Don't look at your brokenness. Don't look at your weakness. Don't look at what you can do. Don't look at what the president is doing. Don't look at World War III. That doesn't mean don't be informed. All this kind of stuff, but saying stop looking at that for proof of whether or not I am in control, and look at me. We do not yet see everything, but we see Jesus. And friends, it is enough to see him. It has to be enough to see him. To look at him on the throne and be consoled, to look in his eyes and say, I don't know what else I can see, but I know I can see him. And this is the way of the Christian. It's enough to see him. All I need is to see him. And I can trust him and I can be secure. But we see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death. Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, is made a little lower than angels. And he's crowned with glory and honor. Why? Because, so we know there's a why, because of the suffering of death. That Jesus is showing us something here. He's saying the way to honor and glory. Again, don't look at the world. Look at me. I will show you the way. I will show you the path to walk. I will show you the way of security. I will show you the way of honor. I will show you the way of glory. I will show you the way of exaltation. I will show you the way. What is the way that I've made everything subject to me? How have I conquered? How has our King conquered? Through military conquest? Through shows of great power and force? No, through the suffering of death. This is our King. This is the Jesus whom we see, the way God brings about that subjection to himself, the way he conquers the world, the way he gets his world back is not through crazy acts of power. It's not through flexing his muscles. It's not through showing his ego. It's through suffering and death. And he's saying, look at me. I'm seated on the throne. I'm crowned with honor and glory. Majesty belongs to me. Power belongs to me. Everything is under my feet. There is nothing that is outside of my control. How? What's the path? The suffering of death. And if we want to go where he has gone, if we want to follow in his footsteps, if we want to live securely, then we have to receive his path. We have to take up the cross and follow him. And he's saying, I will crown you with honor and glory. I will bring you to a place of security, but look at me and follow in what I have done. Be secure. And the security and the honor and the glory and the subjection, the universe is conquered through the humility of our King. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's been made lower than the angels, and he received the suffering of death so that he could conquer. This is what he's done. This is who he is. Stop looking at the chaos of the world and look to him, because as scripture says, as we read, we can't see everything, but we can see him. You can see him today. Your circumstances might not change, but you can see him. And friends, that has to be enough. Join us again tomorrow as we pick up in Hebrews chapter 2. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.